Okay, good morning. We're going to get started here now. I think everybody's with us. Amen. As long as the Lord's with us, that's what we want, right? Amen. I believe he was here today and he's going to stay. Amen. Amen. All right, we're coming right up on Thanksgiving this week. So I want to talk today about the Lord's table and what that kind of means, I guess, to me and hopefully to each of us. Thanksgiving's a great time. Get some good food, good family fun, and fellowship, hopefully. Amen. But have you ever been stuck sitting at the kiddie table? You guys know what that is? When I was a kid growing up, we had the big table and we had the kiddie table. And at the big table, they pulled out all the fine stuff, you know what I mean? You had the plates and all that stuff that's been sitting in that cabinet for years, but all year. And then you bring it out maybe Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, I guess three times a year is when we brought them out. But then you have those sitting at the big table, and it's so fancy and so pretty, you're almost scared to eat. Well, then over at the kiddie table, you know, sometimes you would eat off a disposable plate and maybe even had to use a plastic fork. And I don't know about you, but cutting turkey and stuff with a fork and a plastic fork and knife, you know, isn't really very good. And, you know, I didn't really care to sit in the cheap seats. Now, fortunately, I was the favorite grandchild. I was able to move to the big table pretty quick, you know. But I felt sorry for those others who got left behind. But, you know, somehow when you had to sit there, you kind of felt like you were demoted in life. And I kind of feel that sometimes there's some Christians, you know, that feel that sometimes they don't get to eat off the good china. You know, it feels that maybe they feel like they have to eat off the disposable plates and use the disposable silverware. You know, and I think we need to try to turn that around and just kind of see what the Lord has for each and every one of us. You know, in God's kingdom, there's no second-class citizens. We all have equal rights with each and every person. And, you know, we just need to make sure that's resonant in our mind. So the things I like about Thanksgiving holiday is the fact that it's a time of reflection. And hopefully we should take some time just to think about, you know, what's going on in our life and the things that we can really thank God for, or maybe thank somebody in our life that's been such a blessing to us. You know, there's a lot of people that are blessings. And, you know, to me, Thanksgiving is a time that we can focus on what we have instead of what we don't have. A lot of times we go through life and we think about what we don't have all the time. And when we live like that, we always live like we feel like we're missing out on things. But, you know, I think that, you know, the Lord wants us to learn how to feel content, how to be happy with some things. Oh, yeah, there's some things, you know, that, you know, maybe we still want. But yet I do think there's plenty of stuff that we have at our disposal that we can be a blessing about. Now, we're going to look at Psalms 23 here in a moment. But I'm so thankful for the Good Shepherd. You know, if you really think about it, you know, we was at the prayer meeting the other night, and I didn't really share what I was going to. I let other people talk. But Pastor Roger kind of asked, you know, what we're thankful for. You know, I'm really thankful for the Good Shepherd. You know, I was a cattle person as a kid, so it's hard for me to really get into the sheep thing. But, you know, what I see in the Bible about what a shepherd, how he took care of the sheep, and that's what we need to see, how God tends to us and how he cares so much about us. Now, what we're going to look at today is Psalms 23, verse 5. But, you know, it talks here, the first part of Psalms 23 talks about the Good Shepherd, how he beats back, you know, the enemy, and how he tends for the sheep and leads them to a good place to eat and all these things and how he takes care of us. But then in verse 5, there's a transition. And that transition, it talks about the Lord as being the host of a party. You know, I don't know, there's some of you I know I've watched you as your host. Some of you are the hostess with the mostest, right? You guys really pour out everything and really make sure your guests are cared for. And that's what, you know, this passage we're going to look at in verse 5 is talking about. And see, what we want to understand is that in Eastern culture, when you went to the host house, you came under the host protection. So meaning, whoever came against you, whoever tried to attack you, the host would step in and get between you and them. And that's kind of where we're living right now. We live in a world that maybe doesn't like us all the time. As a matter of fact, sometimes it hates us. And that's what we're going to look at in this passage. And I want us to see the fact that the host wants to protect us. It's found in Psalms 23, verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for a special stirring of your Spirit here today. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done so far. We thank you for your presence and the anointing that's here to be able to break every yoke on our lives, to be able to stir us up, to be able to bring healing and wholeness to each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you just for a feeling of acceptance. Lord, just to permeate in each and every one of our hearts, Lord, that we know that we don't have to perform, but we can just relax and rest in the fact that we are children of the King. Lord, right now I thank you for the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we see here is that we've been promoted from the kiddie table, and right now I want to see yourself as a guest of honor. You're the main thing why this party is being thrown by God. And the first point I want to look at is the idea, is towards the end of the scripture, is about God's provision. It says, "My cup overflows." Now, have you ever, you know, when somebody's pouring your coffee or something like that, have you ever seen them not pay attention? All of a sudden things start to overflow. Now, most of us would kind of see that's waste. But I want us to see that it's a picture today when God says that your cup overflows. It's a measure of God's blessing that's just going to be poured out to you. See, God can do so much more than we abundantly ask or think. And that's the truth. You know, sometimes we live a life and we get kind of whittled down a little bit and we get kind of put in this one mold, shall we say. And you get in that survivor mode. You just think you're just going to get by, that things, you're not getting breaks, things ain't going your way. But I want us to be remembered today that we serve a God of abundance. And that abundance, He can do more than we ever could ask or think. Now, I'd say most of us probably do not doubt God's ability. I mean, He's God after all, right? He created the heavens and the earth. God can do anything. But where we lack is, do we think that God will do anything for us? And see, that's the problem. That's the mindset that needs to be changed in our life. Because we feel that, oh, I can survive. Oh, I can just get by. But we never look to the fact that God doesn't want us to just get by. Now, I'm not talking about greed here. I'm not talking about going after things you don't really need just because somebody else has it and you want it. I'm talking about serving a God that wants to bring so much abundance in your life. God likes to show off sometimes. He likes to show how mighty and how powerful that He is. And then He doesn't want us to be stingy with it. He wants us to go out and He wants us to be able to share that blessing and do all these great and mighty things so that He gets the glory. Now, many times we tend to limit our limitless God. Just by the way we pray, maybe, just by the way we think, just by the way we kind of do things and the way we choose to live our life. But see, we serve a limitless God. God has everything He needs at His disposal. And what the problem is we tend, and I know this, I've lived this myself and still do from time to time, but we tend to look at the natural, not the supernatural. You know? We get locked in on the natural, and we get locked in on our five physical senses. And so if we can't really believe it by seeing or touching or things like that, feeling, then we don't really believe it can happen. But see, we serve a God of the supernatural. God can step in and change every circumstance. He can change every circumstance in our life. He can turn things around. Things that were going wrong all of a sudden become right. And we just got to hang in there and fight the good fight of faith. Not every prayer we get is instantaneous. I know that. But I do say this. I would rather die praying than die in unbelief. Amen? I would rather die and fail believing in a most powerful God who is my heavenly Father and follow Him, just like we talked last week about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, it don't matter. If God delivers us, cool. You know, that's my translation. But if He doesn't deliver us, I'm still not going to bow my knee. I'm still not going to give up. I'm going to follow my God. And that's what we have to do. And see, that's the table that God wants us to set at. We know that he prepares that table for you and I. Now, I've had some lean times, not that many, I'll be honest. I've always seemed like I've landed on my feet, and I've always been able to work with my hands, and I'm not afraid to work. So I pretty well never had lack in my life for the most part. But there have been times, you know, when things, you know, the enemy gets you to take your eye off Jesus and start looking at the waves, you know what I'm saying? Where you start to feel that kind of pressure come in, and you feel like, you know, maybe the provision isn't going to be there, what you need. See, when we go through life, we kind of tend to look at a few loaves while God is looking at the feast. You know what I'm saying? You know, God, when he saw those fish and that loaves from them little that little boy, God knew the potential of that blessing right there. God knew when that little boy gave that to Jesus and Jesus broke that, he knew the multiplication factors that were going to take place and they could feed a multitude. See, that's how we need to start stopping to look and looking at things in the way that we think it's going to be and start to see just how God says it can be. And we start to turn those things around. See, God doesn't fill our cup based on what we deserve. God overflows our cup based on his generosity and endless supply. And I really feel we can need to get into that place of overflowing blessing in our life. And there's different ways you can do it. I mean, you know, it all comes by faith. Our faith needs to grow. You guys are doing a good thing here today by showing up today, or you may be listening in. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. I mean, it just boils down to this. You know, you have to get the word inside of you, and then it chases that doubt and unbelief out of you. And when we start to walk in that and start to say what God says and we start to do the things that God says for us to do, then we can start to tap into the things that God says we can have. I mean, I've watched a lot of people be blessed in my life, and I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not jealous of what they've done. I just know that God wants to do it for me right now. Now, one of the ways we do it, and we're not going to take up another offering right now, but giving primes the pump. It just primes the pump. There's just no other way. When I was a little kid, you know, up at my grandpa's place, we had this pump down by the cattle lot, and as I looked by it, how many would like to drink water right, you know, from a well right next to the cattle lot, you know? I was pretty young back then, so I mean, anyway, we all drank from it, but it didn't seem like it bothered us. That's probably why I don't get sick much, you know, I just, you know, had all the germs early. But we had this old pump, you know, they had to go like this. And, you know, when it got older, the withers, I think that's what it's called down inside, you had to have a little water. So we always kept a little water in a jar. And then you would dump it down the top of the pump. It would kind of moisten that probably leather product down there. And then it would become sticky or something. And then, this is not real scientific what I'm saying here, but anyway, it become kind of sticky. And then when you pumped it, all of a sudden you got water out. Now you had to remember to put some more water in the jar, you know what I'm saying, for next time, you know? But you had to prime it. And when you primed it, it started to flow. And see, when we see how much we have instead of what we don't have, and we start to see that, yeah, I may not be as rich as everybody else around here, but I can give something. And I can give that in faith, trusting that my Father is going to bless that and multiply it. And see, that's how you start to operate in the things of the kingdom of God. You know, stop waiting for somebody else to do something that he has called you to do. And when we do that, you know, we have to give with gratitude, not attitude, okay? You know, a lot of people give with a bad attitude. Oh, no, they're going to take up an offering. Oh, no, God's telling me to do this. I'll tell you what, one of the worst feelings you can feel in life is when you feel right here that God has told you to give something and you won't give it. That's an icky feeling. So what I found in my life, with my lightning quick intellect, 12th grade education and all, you know what I'm saying? Is that if I follow that leading of the Holy Spirit, that icky feeling goes away. And then it puts me in a prime spot to be a candidate for just what God wants to do in my life. So as we do that, you know, we seek first the kingdom of God. We talked about this a little bit in the men's group the other night. And seeking first the kingdom of God, I want to look at two thoughts on this, is the idea of perspective and priority, and how important those two things are. Perspective talks about that we are children of the King, and it's only natural we would be able to feast at our Father's table. See, once we see that we're a child of God and our daddy owns all the cattle on a thousand hills and that he wants to bless us, he wants to love on us, he cares for us, you know, it's only natural that we should see that. Now, have you ever went to somebody's house and you maybe never felt, you know, maybe not anything that they've done, but maybe you just don't feel totally accepted? You know what I mean? So you're kind of scared to ask for a drink of water. You know, you just kind of feel like, I'm not sure if they'll give me that water or not. And I don't want to get shut down here. I'm just going to stay thirsty, you know? I mean, that's what some people kind of do when they come to the presence of God. They'd rather stay thirsty than be quenched by the outpouring of what God wants to do in their life. And see, we need to tap in to seeing that our Heavenly Father. See, we're children of the King. See, we talked about, you know, being a child of God. And see, we've been adopted into the family of God. And like I've always said, when you get adopted, that's special because somebody picked you. You know what I'm saying? You were picked special. Now, for the rest of us, you get what came out, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, them are yours. That's the ones you're stuck with. You know, love it or leave it, that's just the way it is. But when somebody picks somebody to adopt them, that means they're special. And see, we've been adopted into the body of Christ. He picked us. He chose us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And all these things should change the perspective, the way that we see ourselves now in Christ Jesus, that we're so loved and we're so cared for. And that's the perspective we need to have because, you know, a lot of times we think that we're on the outside looking in, but we're technically really on the inside looking out. God wants us to understand and see exactly what he has for our life. And see, when we also see the kingdom of God as being a priority. You know, I remember when I first started out, I decided to go for this full blast. You know what I'm saying? I didn't just stick my toe in and test it. I just jumped in over my head. And when I did that, I started to experience things quicker than, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of other people because I just believed God was real. And that's just the way it was. But see, that comes by putting the things of God first in our life. See, it's not how you worship here. I mean, I love it. You guys are awesome. You know, I kind of sometimes peek back and just see, and you guys are really getting into it. You're singing good. You're raising your hands. Sometimes you come down to the altar. I mean, that just blesses me. But it's what you do at home. It's how you worship when you leave here. See, that tells if the kingdom of God is important to you. See, the kingdom of God, with my lightning quick intellect, says there's a king. And the king calls the shots. You know what I'm saying? And his name is King Jesus. And he's given us some information in a book called the Bible. And it tells us just how we're supposed to live our life and what we're supposed to do. And it's very simple. You know, all we have to do is follow us. It's just written. I mean, ours is written in English, right? And if we can read, we can follow it. I mean, sometimes it's hard, but, you know, we can definitely, you know, fall in line and get it done. So when we seek first the kingdom of God, we're letting God rule and reign in our life. That means what he says goes before what I think or what I feel. Because what I think and feel is sometimes wrong. But God is never wrong. God is always right. So to me, God's ultimate provision was when he sent his son to the cross to be our substitute. And we need to remember that. The fact that Jesus Christ was our substitute. You may not have realized this, but due to the sins that you and I have committed, we deserved to die on the cross. We deserve to pay for our sins. But Jesus Christ went and paid those for us so that we can go free. Now, that's a little bit about provision. Now I want to get into presence, the presence of God. That Psalms there in verse 5 said that he anointed my head with oil. So, what's that mean? You know, to me, you know, there's a lot of blessings in the Eastern culture, you know, when they anointed with oil, and it was a blessing when a guest came, and, you know, they would sometimes have your feet washed, and, you know, they would anoint your head with oil. And, you know, what goes with that, to me, when the anointing your head, to me, that means we need to be mindful of the anointing. And this is what separates some Christians from others in some way. Because some don't really acknowledge the existence or the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily walk. And that's important. You know, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how important that is to ask for that gift and then to be knowledgeable about the Holy Spirit walking with us, working with us, leading us and guiding us, and how important that is. So how we do that is we need to practice. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had to practice something? You know, I remember when we did the Hell's Gates in Heaven, or I say that all the time, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. There you go. We stormed the gates of hell, praise God. But anyway, you know, we had three performances, you know, and to be honest, I don't like studying lines. That's not my thing, but I had to, you know. I had to be able to, and fortunately my wife was there as my partner in the skit. But the greatest moment, I'll be honest, I mean, we watched a lot of people come forward, and I was glad for that. The greatest feeling I had was Tuesday night when it was over. Even though they cast me into hell that night, I knew that I did not have to go up and memorize those lines again. You know, try to say it in the right sequence. For me, that was awesome. But see, the idea of the presence of God and being with us every step of the way, knowing that God will never leave us or forsake us. And God's presence is always around us. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't. There was times during that skit, I didn't feel nothing, man. And it was probably because I was just kind of thinking about, you know, because it wasn't the way I talk. You know, I talk differently, if you'd probably know. And, you know, so that was hard for me. But I do know in my life, just like in worship this morning, you know, for me, the last few weeks, I kind of felt a dry spell for whatever reason. And I prayed every day. I read the Word every day. I did all that. But sometimes you just go through little seasons like that. But I'll tell you what, this morning up there at worship, man, it just broke through. I loved it. I'm back to feeling what I like to feel. You know, the presence of God. And that's important to me. You know, you got to set some priorities in life. If it's not important to you, you probably won't do it or get it, you know. But what it means to me to know that the presence of God is working in my life is very important. Because if I lose the presence, you know, we could easily lose our way. And so I encourage you to follow after God. See, God says He'll never leave us or forsake us, and He won't. See, God is not playing hide and seek. If we seek, He will let us find Him. And you need to trust that. And no matter where you're at, I remember, you know, you're starting out as a baby Christian, you know, starting to do different things, you know, and I believe that God really shows up easier when you're a baby Christian, because God just has His mercy and His grace poured out upon us. But as we learn to be able to walk in that anointing and knowing the leading of guiding of the Holy Spirit in our life, then that makes the table look really good, the table that we partake of. See, a lot of people, you know, at Thanksgiving, you know, we eat a lot of turkey probably and different foods. You know, I've learned to try to cut back on seconds if I can, because, you know that feeling when you feel good and then you go beyond that? That's a bummer, ain't it? No matter how good it tastes, within a few minutes, feel bad. But see, the idea of coming in to God's presence and keep filling that, because, you know, we need to feed our bodies, and how important that is to put food in our bodies, the right kind of food, because it's fuel. Well, how about putting the right kind of fuel for our spirit? You know, the fuel of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and being able to pray and get that filled up. You know, it's just unfortunate. You know, when we neglect to take care of our spiritual life, it causes, so that's why we start to lose the idea of thanksgiving, that attitude of gratitude. So practicing His presence falls down to be aware. Just be aware there is a Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you, and making His presence a priority. Okay, lastly, I want to get to today is the idea of protection, because I think we understand that, because it says here He prepares a table in the presence of your enemies. Okay. Now, we know our main enemy is the devil, right? And then sometimes, you know, the devil uses people, doesn't he? He does, you know, and he uses them in a way to speak lies. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I expect a little bit of collateral damage in my life just because, you know, things I do and the things I say. But, you know, what really is weird to me is when somebody comes up to me and tells me that I said something, that there's no way I ever said that. You know what I'm saying? But it goes with the territory of, you know, when you preach the gospel. You know, I remember one time I got beat up at a funeral. It's been a while back. I mean, they never really threw fist punches at me or nothing, but they got up in my face because I was talking about how in Adam and Eve, how they sinned and brought sin into mankind, and they thought I talked about the person. But they were liquored up, in all fairness to them. They had been drinking hard. I think they'd been drinking whiskey or something like that. And they were liquored up pretty good before they got to the funeral. You know, but sometimes things just get misunderstood, don't they? And so we need to be aware that there's enemies out there that we don't know. And for some of the stands that you and I make, we make enemies. That's just the way it is. If we believe pornography is not of God, that's going to tick some people off. You know what I'm saying? If we believe that certain things are not of God, well, then we're going to make some enemies. So God wants to understand the idea of being able to prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. Now, if you were getting about ready to go out and fight or your enemy was breathing right down your neck, would you sit down and have a nice meal? Or would you get it to go? You know what I'm saying? We'd probably get it to go, wouldn't we? But here it talks about the host is prepared this beautiful table. And they want you to sit down and enjoy your meal. Why? Because the host is going to take care of you now. Once you come in to the presence of the host, once you come in to the household of the host, now the host becomes your protector. And we as Christians are in the family of God, and how we need to understand that. So two things here. God has a beautiful table spread for each and every one of us to partake of. I mean, as we, you know, I look at this as a, not just natural food, but spiritual food, the things that God has for us, the things he wants to do inside of us to make us different, to make us look different, to make us live different, to be able to follow him with all our heart and to be able to walk in victory. And the power of the Holy Spirit that he's using, you know, to manifest things in our life. So the idea of that protection, you know, when I think about it, you know, we may be surrounded, but we're never cut off because our help comes really from within. You know, if you're in war and the enemy's surrounding you, it might be hard to get stuff to you, provisions. But see, God doesn't have to break through the line. God's already here. He lives inside of us. All we have to do is be able to tap in to our covenant protector, the one who loves us and cares for us. You know, David, when he was in the wilderness, he had some bad things happen. And Saul was just chasing him because it's only natural. Saul wanted his son Jonathan to be king. It was supposed to be handed down, father, son, father, son, father, son. But all along came David. And Saul had been rejected by God due to his unbelief and taking things into his own hands, you know, when he, you know, made the offerings and took things that he shouldn't have. So then God bypassed him and went to David. Well, David was God's chosen. David is the one that, you know, God wanted to be able to come in, to be over, to take over the king. And then from them, the lineage of David would pass on, and it's finally finalized through Jesus Christ. You know, he's in that lineage in the natural. So what happened, David was surrounded many times in the wilderness. I mean, King Saul with his great army was chasing after him everywhere. David and his men were hiding in caves, surrounded, cut off. But David knew that God had called him to be a king. David knew that God had a plan for his life. And I want you to know that God has called you to rule and reign with him. And God has called you to be able to walk in that kind of victory. That's the victory that God has for each and every one of us. You know, the other thing is, you know, in the time when the prophet and his helper were surrounded by an army, and, you know, the prophet prayed and said, open his eyes that he may see, and he could see all the angels surrounding them. And how important that was to understand. See, we're not alone in this endeavor. Now, the angels, they're just kind of like a bonus deal to me. You know, all we need is God. Other than that, you know, we're really good, you know. So most Christians, you know, a lot of times live their life feeling like they're outnumbered. But the truth is, when God is on our side, our enemies are outnumbered. There's nothing that our God can't do. He's the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valleys. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, we can be able to walk in victory with our God. And one thing I like too is that the fact that as we're sitting at the Lord's table and we're partaking of the food and the blessings and everything that God has for us, that if Satan wants to get to us, he has to go through Jesus. Amen? I mean, every now and then I remind the devil that, hey, you want me? You got to go through my covenant protector, and that's Jesus Christ. That didn't work out very good for him the last time. Amen? We just need to remember that. Amen. We should, I don't want to say this in a boastful way, but we should never be afraid of the devil. Never. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. We serve somebody who has already defeated him. Amen. We have already won the war. Yes, we may go through a little skirmishes because the devil hasn't given up yet, but we have the power of God working in our life because our covenant host, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we partake of his table. Now see, the problem is we get up from the table and we leave and we go off on our own. Well, then you're like the little gazelle and you got the lion chasing you on them and them animal shows. You know what I mean? The little gazelle doesn't usually survive on that. You got to stay at the table, people. You got to stay at the table. You got to stay connected. Staying connected to God. You know, being faithful to him, whatever he has called you to do. Staying faithful to church like you're doing here today. You know, being here a part of things. You know, it blessed me some of the testimonies that people shared, that just how they felt that, you know, being connected to a church here, you know, help them through, and they knew somebody, they could have somebody in their life they could count on. And what really blessed me is that I wasn't the person they could count on all the time. I said that wrong. They had to count on all the time. But other people in the body would step in and be their prayer partner to be able to encourage them. And that's what being a church is all about. That's like being there for each other. Oh, we're not perfect. We may fail you sometimes. We don't mean to. We want what's best for you. Each and every person here should want what's best for everybody else in this room. Amen. And be there to cheer them on, yes, when their victories, and to be there to hug them and hold their hand when it seems like there's a defeat. See, that's what it means to be a part of a body, and we're sitting at the Lord's table. And so as I wrap this up here a little bit, you know, no matter what seems to be coming your way, and it may not be things that you want, know this, you can have the confidence to sit down and have a nice meal. And worry not, amen, about your enemies. Amen. You don't have to be concerned about them again. See, as we sit down for Thanksgiving this year, that, you know, and we're not just sitting at a dining room table, but we're sitting at the Lord's table. Yeah. I want you to picture that this year, and that you are partaking of the bounty of everything that God has provided for you, because Thanksgiving is just not about the turkey. Right. Amen. It's not about the turkey. It's about the great things that we can be so thankful for. Amen? Amen? Let's bow in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for this gentle moving of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to move in this place. We thank you. Spirit, rise up in each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, for the table that you have spread. The old song says, where the saints of God are fed, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Lord, we thank you for the spiritual feast that you have given us through your word and your spirit, Lord, that you keep us strong in the power of your might. Lord, we fear not our enemies. We know that our enemies are under our feet. But the greatest thing is when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, We've all had to make that decision in our life where we choose to follow God rather than follow our own ways. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision to surrender your life, to give it over to God, and you want to do that today, I want to give you that opportunity to slip up your hand. If you'd like to surrender your life today, or maybe you have surrendered and you know you need to come back, you've maybe let some things get in the way along the way. You say, yes, that's me, Pastor Brad. I want to reconsecrate and commit my life. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah.